What I'm learning is in these seasons of breaking down, if I lean into them a bit, try to understand them a bit, there's something I'm learning in them. And that brings some hope to these moments.
Welcome you wonderful, purposeful, and beautiful humans to Hope Still Wins. I'm your host, Ben Higgins. Hope Still Wins is a place where we get to know thought leaders from diverse backgrounds and differing worldviews to help us feel less alone, more connected, and move us to become a better world together. Each week, I'll be interviewing inspiring and relatable guests in attempts to get to know their hearts, celebrate their stories, and explore the concept of hope to hear how and if it has played a role in their lives. Ultimately, answering the question, does hope still win? If so, why? And if not, why not? This week, I'm sitting down with somebody that I know well. Somebody that, I have a close relationship with. In fact, one of my producers on this show, she's kind of the engine that keeps this thing going, Jenny Barber, interviews me. I'm your guest. So, yes, I just called myself inspiring and relatable. I don't know if any of those things are true. That's up to you to decide. But this was a special episode for me to share my heart, where I'm at in life, and then why Hope Still Wins was created at all. I hope you enjoy it. Thank you again for listening. Thank you again for allowing me to have this place in your life where we get to hang out and talk every week to guests who, well, I inspire to be. But this week, you get to hear from me. So, hey, let's tune in and let's get started.
Well, it's a very special episode of Hope Still Wins, don't you think?
Oh, extra special.
This is a really special episode for me. We've been wanting to do this for a while. Give a little background to where Hope Still Wins came from, like why it started, where we hope it goes in the future. But also, I'm excited because my very incredible producer, Jenny,
hi guys,
right here, is going to be kind of hosting this. And it's going to be a podcast where I am the guest, I guess, right?
Yeah. Originally, it's supposed to be a Ben solo episode, so it's almost a Ben solo episode, but I'm excited to kind of like get to interrogate him a little bit for you guys.
I felt like if I did this alone, I would feel like I'm like preaching and speaking to nobody. And so I needed to at least speak to somebody, right?
I get it. I understand.
Well, to all of you listening, thank you so much for your commitment already to Hope Still Wins. This is a really special project for Jenny and I. In fact, I'll give a little background here. It started over a year ago now with the idea that I was personally feeling that a lot of people were sitting around in the world at their homes feeling very disoriented, very alone, and very confused. And this doesn't matter what political spectrum you fall on, even what religious spectrum, what orientation you are. I was just feeling like we weren't connecting. It felt like people were yelling at each other from across the room, but nobody was coming together to ever have any middle ground. So Hope Still Wins started with the idea that what if we interviewed people, influencers, authors, just your everyday regular people who are doing incredible things in this world, and we got to hear their stories. Because I think once you hear somebody's story, it's really hard not to like them, and it's really hard not to understand them. And then once you understand them, I believe there's a connection that can take place. And that's really what we hope Hope Still Wins is. Now, we've had some incredible guests so far. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have some more incredible guests, some unexpected guests as we continue. But today I'm the guest. And Jenny came on about, 6 months ago, hoping to launch this into a podcast, to help book guests, to help plan out the content. She does all the prep work on the guests and helps me really kind of hone in on the questions that we want to ask and the things that we want to talk about. She helps work with our wonderful team at That Sounds Fun.
Shout out to That Sounds Fun.
100%. It's a great network with some incredible podcasts a part of that as well. So Jenny is really the engine that helps this thing move. So you guys are getting a behind-the-scenes look at what this podcast is all about. So before we get started with me today, I just want to let Jenny take the next few minutes and really talk about who you are and why you're involved in Hope Still Wins.
Yeah, we jumped into this, and I've always been drawn to stories, and specifically stories of hope and really how people can connect in the world. I've seen in my life where when you connect, there's room to start healing and feeling less alone. Like that's when we started talking about your book and really what you wanted to achieve with that, which is what this whole entire show kind of stemmed from. I was like, yes, this makes all the sense. And then throw 2020 on top of it all. And it was a no-brainer. And so it's been such a cool project to bring to the world and then to connect with all of the thought leaders and people and their stories that we've got to talk with. But then also it's been such a learning for me. Like it's interesting. Sometimes I wonder, I'm like, are we producing? Is this like for, it is for others, like in the forefront of my mind. I'm like, oh yeah, we're giving this, we're, this is for others. But really, I just wonder, I'm like, has it even done more for me? Mm. And like the learning. And I think something, a theme that we've seen in many of our guests is over the past year, how a lot of people are, like you said, yelling and reacting. And I think that hope still wins for me. And what I hope it gives the audience and all the listeners is a moment to reflect before we respond. So it's a gift to me in so many ways. I absolutely love working with you. I love producing it. I love our guests. I love our network. And I'm just excited to see where it goes. And what I love is connecting with the listeners, whether that's on social media, the DMs are life-giving. Ben and I always screenshot them and send them back and forth to each other. So thank you for everyone who writes in. And really just excited to see how you guys are going to help to shape the show in the future. Like you're hearing what our hope is for it today and why it started and where we want it to go. But we're also listening to your feedback and what you get from these episodes and from our guests sharing their hearts and their stories. So we appreciate it and we welcome it. And we're excited for you guys to help shape the future.
First piece of advice today. I've been thinking about this podcast for a while. First piece of advice today was given me years ago when I kind of started this journey into trying new things and creating new things and risking doing them in a, you know, kind of underneath on my own in a lot of ways. Was to surround yourself with people better than you. And so Jenny came on board for Alone in Plain Sight, the book that got released in February. And it was interesting because I was praying during that time, like, hey, I can't do this alone. There's a lot of stuff that's going to go on in the launch of this book that I'm not going to be good at. I need somebody to help fill that gap. But I need somebody to help fill that gap that has an incredible heart, that believes in this book, and that believes in me. And that's kind of how I've done all of my hiring through everything that I've done is people that not only believe in the mission, but that we get along, but they'll push me forward, that they're better at it than I am. And Alone in Plain Sight was a great example of that. And so one of the things that happened was I was praying for this and somebody said, hey, what about Jenny Barber? Wouldn't she be an incredible fit? And so I called Jenny and Jenny just happened to be in a season of transition, which I am right now. Mm-hmm. That we'll talk about here in just a bit. And I remember I told her, just read the book and then let me know if you want to help with this whole thing. And she called me back and she said, I've cried 4 times. I believe in the book. And I said, okay, let's do this. Yeah. And so, yes, Hope Still Wins is a response to Alone in Plain Sight. So if you haven't read Alone in Plain Sight yet, please pick it up.
Yes.
Anywhere you can buy books. or you can just Google it. But anyways, let's go ahead and get started. I'm going to kick it off for us and just say, you know, to host this podcast is a gift to me because, as you mentioned just a bit ago, and how I wanted to start this whole thing today was talking about learning. And maybe selfishly, Hope Still Wins came from a place where it's like, I want an excuse to talk to incredible people in this world. Mm-hmm. And like, not everybody is going to be open to me just giving them a call and saying, hey, can I just talk to you about like, fairly personal things and ask you a ton of questions for the next 30 minutes and you just respond.
Which he would do, by the way. Like, thank God for this because I seriously think he would do that.
I really would do it, but like it's awkward and it feels like definitely overstepping bounds.
Yeah.
And so this podcast was like, hey, I'm needing support right now. And I look up to all these people in the world and I'm learning so much from people that are different than me. and I don't know how to connect with them. And so Hope Still Wins was that. And then it was like, well, maybe everybody needs this. Mm-hmm. And so right now, as I'm in this transition season, Hope Still Wins has been better for me personally than maybe any of our listeners. Because every episode, I get to learn something new that I take with me and that I write in my notebook that I get to meditate on and bring with me not only into my future relationship with Jessica, but into my relationships with friendships and my faith in my work. Like, I'm a better person because of this. And so, I think now's a good time to say, hey, share that with friends. Share this with friends, because I think that a lot of people will benefit from it, especially if we come into it with the mindset of like, hey, I get to host this because I'm lucky to. But we're all in this together. Okay, Jenny, kick it off. Let's get started.
Well, I'm interested with, you mentioned transition a couple different times. Mm-hmm. So, and recently there was been a lot of chatter over the, I think it was mm-hmm. about a month ago, about the transition. I think you've had opportunities to speak towards that through other like media outlets, but I'm really excited to talk with you today about it because this is yours. You can say everything that you want or don't want to, but I know that the book, I know that the podcast, you're getting married in a couple months. Mm-hmm. This has been a season of transition. So I want to kind of, and on, to be candid, it's been very much a season of transition for me as well. So I want you to kind of like just dive into that a little bit. Give the listeners what's been going on.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this is a good place to do it. It's interesting. You know, I've always, and anybody that's, you know, been along for this journey has understood and known that, like, I've always struggled with confidence. And not this outward confidence, but I always feel like the outsider. And I have to fight that. And I have tools now to fight that. And I know that's not something true in my life. But it's where my mind always goes, is I feel like the outsider, or I don't feel good enough, or I feel like a fraud. And those things just kind of seep over me and pour over me. And I'm harder on myself than anybody else would ever be. And a part of that is a gift. And I want to say that because what it's done in the last, you know, 5 years of my life is it really has, like, I think, leveled me out. You know, it's really like brought some peace to knowing that I'm not the greatest thing to walk this earth, because that's not true either. And my mind never allows me to feel that way. Yeah. But in seasons where maybe I don't have the excuse to even feel like the greatest thing to walk this earth, when I'm like in this like liminal space, when I'm in the middle ground, when I'm hurting already, then those words or those things pour over me and they hurt me worse. They bring me into a really bad spot. And that's what's been happening recently. A couple that is, I've tied a lot of my identity recently to my career. And, you know, my work with Generous Coffee is something that I want to do for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. I dream of one day when that is flourishing. I dream of that, but we're not there yet. Yeah. And it's been a harder season than ever. We had to close a coffee shop, which cost us tens of thousands of dollars that we don't have. We have, you know, had to navigate what everybody has with the pandemic. And so we're all in that part together. But that hasn't been exactly a season of jubilee. It's been really difficult. You know, we've transitioned into having new staff members join, which has been incredible. But what that's done is we hired a CEO, which has made me take a step back and kind of open up my hands and release the leadership of Generous just a bit. So that it can be guided forward in a more strategic way, mm-hmm. and not just from a heart and emotional way. That was hard for me because I had to pretty much tell myself, hey, I'm not made for this season for Generous. Like, this isn't where I come from. And so I'm going to have to release this. And even as much as I did that with joy and gladness, because we found the perfect person for it, it still was me having to come to a place of like, I have to give this up. This thing that we believed in, this creation that we believe can be good. So that was the start, I think, for me, was just living in that. And then the book gets launched. And the book's really weird because you work on a book for 2 years and you write it and you put everything into it. And then all of a sudden it's released into the public. And as you know, Jenny, like, it's just out there.
Yeah.
Like, there's not a lot you feel with that. There's not a lot of like tie with it anymore. Like, you kind of just like hand it off and you say, like, I don't even know what this is for. And you kind of rely on the people responding and the reviews of people reading it saying, hey, I connected to it, or maybe I didn't, and this is why. Like, you just rely on that feedback, but that doesn't always come in. Mm-hmm. And the longer you get past the launch date, what I've learned is those reviews become less and less. And so then you kind of hand this off. And I'm going through this because I hope it makes a little more sense of where I'm at today. And then you tie into it that I'm getting married, which is an incredible thing. I could not be more happy and at peace filled about that. But to be honest, like, for the last 5 years of my life, my whole career and identity has been built on being single. Like, everybody knows me as the guy that was single or searching for love. And I'm entering into a season where now, I mean, I've already found love, but I'm committing to somebody for the rest of my life. And that in itself is something so incredible. But now I don't know exactly who I am. Like, I don't know what I'm about. I don't know what makes me desirable to not only, like, I've made friendships based on being single. Yeah. Like, I've made career choices based on being single. I've gotten opportunities based on being single. And now I'm giving that up. And, like, where does that leave me? And so it felt like in my life, personally, I had those things going on. And then I had the world kind of swirling around me, which all of us did, learning so much so quickly and learning the ways that that maybe I was attributing or contributing to the pains of others. Or maybe I felt like I wasn't and I was working really hard to not be that contributor. But yet the world saw me as somebody that was. And I was getting criticism for that. And so I felt like everything in my life was just getting confusing. And then you go into my own personal struggle of those words that I said getting poured over me. I'm not enough. I'm a fraud. You are fake. You're not doing this right. You don't really care about these people. Like, those things would pour over me. And it would put me in a place where I just felt like a wretch. Like, I just felt like a horrible human who hadn't done anything right. And I had these things that had been, that I've been a part of for the last 5 years that felt like all of them were falling down in front of me at one time. And so I sat there on an interview, I think it was with Trista Sutter, and I said, hey, and she caught me on a weird day, a very vulnerable day maybe. And I went back home to Indiana to take a break, to take a breather. And it didn't really end up being that, because most of that trip ended up involving me then responding to a lot of those headlines of me breaking down, yeah. Which didn't really help at all.
No.
And hasn't really helped at all. But what I said to her was, I'm breaking down right now because I knew I was. And I've done it a few times in my life. I have two other examples in my life where I broke down, like where I feel like I'm on the floor, unable to even hardly pick myself up. And like, I wake up in the morning and there's a weight on my chest and there's a weight on my shoulders and there's a weight in my head. I don't want to wake up and get out of bed. I don't have the desire to even move forward. I don't have the capacity to encourage others. I don't have the ability to lead any teams. I'm just in my own head, and my own head was at that time a really terrible place. And yet I was busier than ever. And yet my day was filled with phone calls and interviews and with meetings, and I just didn't get a chance to break. But what I told Trista was, I'm having a breakdown, and I was. But here's the thing I'm learning now, and I'm not coming out. I'm still in it. Like, I'm still heavy and I'm still confused. But what I'm learning is, in these seasons of breaking down, if I lean into them a bit, try to understand them a bit, there's something I'm learning in them. And that brings some hope to these moments. Brings some hope to the idea that maybe the breakdown leads to a breakthrough. And that breakthrough will look different than my life before. I know it, you know, but I'll have a different perspective. I'll have some resilience. I'll understand myself a little better. I'll understand the world a little better. I'll understand the people that are yelling out saying, hey, I'm in pain right now, or I'm not well mentally. And I'll be able to empathize with them a little bit more. But right now I'm trying to get to a place where I'm understanding what this breakthrough looks like, because I can't quite grasp it.
This week's episode of Hope Still Wins is brought to you by Generous International. Generous International is a company that I co-founded. Generous donates 100% of profits to nonprofits fighting human-facing injustice. So every bag of coffee bought, every cup of coffee drank, is going back to make the world a better place. place. Generous is best known for selling coffee, specialty grade coffee. So it's some of the best coffee in the world. You're going to drink coffee anyways. And like we like to say, why not make it life-changing coffee? Well, you can visit Generous at generouscoffee.com. Please go out today and check out Generous Coffee.
There's so many of us that whatever our transition looks like, you look like career, marriage, moving, relational, whatever it is, it's relatable. And so I have a couple questions. When you went home to Indiana and you had, it was supposed to be this space, you were supposed to be taking time for yourself, but yet you kind of opened this can of worms that really just like snowballed and everyone still wanted to grab at you and talk to you and dig in. And so I'm just wondering, because when we're feeling all that pressure on in our chest, in our head, and we're like, I know a breakdown is coming, but yet the world keeps going. Yeah. I think that's where I'm like, how do you create boundaries in it?
One of the gifts I've been able to have in my life has been surrounded by an incredible family and an incredible friend group. And so one of the things I've learned through writing the book was that one of the common denominators in every human is we've experienced pain. Mm-hmm. Every human at some level has felt pain or sorrow or something that they don't wish upon anybody else, including themselves. And one of the ways it's helped me, because I enjoy community. I enjoy being connected. I enjoy feeling like I have a seat at the table. I enjoy sharing life with others. Mm-hmm. I get that, you know, mostly from Jesus and the way Jesus sat and broke bread with humans and drank wine with them and heard their sorrows and their pains, but also laughed with them and celebrated with them and brought them into a place of even greater joy than they're already existing. And like that, when I even say that statement, it gets me excited that I could be in that and that every human could be a part of that same thing is crying out with people when crying out is necessary, but celebrating with people when celebrating is necessary, but sharing life with people, sharing a meal with people. And so what I've done in these moments where I feel something coming on is I sit in it for a bit. And I process it because I don't want to be the boy that cries wolf, like every day calling up my buddy, like, I feel something weird happening here.
Yeah.
But when I'm in it, when I know I'm in it, I can get the strength to call somebody and say, I'm not well. Mm-hmm. And this is why. I need to tell you exactly where I'm at. I need to tell you exactly what's on my mind. I need you to, I need to trust you enough in this moment to not necessarily tell me how to fix it, but I need you to hear me. And I need you to respond to me. I need you to, and this is a really hard question to ask anybody. I need you to tell me how you see me right now.
Yeah.
I need you to tell me how you see me. And I open up the door in those moments for somebody to pour back into me, to give me some type of truth. Because I believe on this earth, God has given us the ability to share within ourselves this amazing community and that he speaks through others sometimes.
Yeah.
And when we can't hear God's voice, I believe that God is speaking through others to us. And so when you open up the door to say, how do you see me right now? It'll opens up the space for them to share truth to me. And then I can lean on that truth a little bit. Because, so I do that. The second part is I have a unique situation where like I'm on a podcast with Trista and she asked me this question. I don't want to lie to her.
Right.
And I'm not in a place to even hide it. Like I can't just like gloss over it. It's going to come off. One is I already feel like a fraud. I don't want to continue to act in a way that isn't myself in that moment. And so like one of the ways you stop becoming a fraud is you start becoming genuine and authentic in all situations. And that's kind of the short straw I've pulled, but also the beautiful straw I've pulled, because you know what happens when I said that on Trista's podcast, not only did I get a lot of people reaching out going, hey, are you good? but I got a lot of people reaching out saying me too. I'm in it too. You're not alone. It's okay. It's going to be okay. Thank you for sharing this. This got me through another day.
I absolutely love that. And I know, and I personally have like experienced the power of community and not retreating in these moments. And I think there's also a flip side to that, that especially in this day and age with social media, how we are all so connected. And I'm all for vulnerability. I just feel like also we're putting it out. We're laying a lot of it out there. Mm-hmm. At what point do you think that we need to like also take time? Is there a balance to take time and be like with ourselves and not looking for someone else? I understand like what you were saying was, hey, reflect back to me. Like mm-hmm. I need some sort of, give me some hope here. Give me some encouragement. Give me love in any way. But maybe it's even if they're just like, if they're pivoting, a lot of this is career for you. Mm-hmm. So like if there was answers for that, are you still looking to community for that? Do you think that there's a balance to like go within, pray, however anyone gets quiet mm-hmm. or, you know, connects to something outside of their head and related to like what their heart is saying?
I would say this same breakdowns happen across the board to any large aspect of our lives. Faith, you know, deconstruction is a very popular word thrown around right now that I don't think fully encompasses the whole process of ripping away at things that we believe to be true, to add in things that we know are true, or to open up our hearts to the mystery that is God. That's a big thing with faith, you know, relationships, the people that are out there that are single, that are searching, wanting, desiring, hurting, confused. Every day is a reminder that they haven't quite found the thing that they always believed would be in front of them. Mm-hmm. Relationships that you're in, the pain that's involved there, the hurt that's done amongst spouses, friendships, like this goes across the board. Like we've all had moments like this. Mm-hmm. And mine just, you know, because relationally I'm in the best place I've ever been, mm-hmm. you know, yeah. Romantically I'm thriving. Jessica's an incredible partner to me. She loves me dearly. She fights for me. She supports me. She doesn't always know how to do it perfectly, but she tries. Yeah. And, you know, with my family, that, you know, all these things are lined up. I just happen to have this aspect of my life that I'm like hurting by. Mm-hmm. And so to answer your question, yes, I am a strong believer. When anybody asks, what are some tangible things that I do in my life that help me or that feel beneficial? They don't always come out of them like perfectly. It's taking time in silence. Mm-hmm. You know, Eastern Christianity and the mystics of age, they took a lot of time. They did breathing techniques. They processed. Jesus walked away often to take a nap or to go to the garden to pray, to cry out to God. God, where are you at in this? Like, where am I at in this? What is my role in this? God, please support some, like, please bring me some your voice. And Jesus would always walk away, and then you'd always come back to the group with a new message, with a new perspective. It wasn't always perfect, and it wasn't always, hey, I'm good now.
Yeah.
It was a lesson learned. It was a time to reflect. And people always get on, but like it was a season of contemplation. And I am a firm believer in contemplation. I would tell anybody that's in the midst of a breakdown to lean into that breakdown a bit. To understand what it is, to understand the symptoms. You know, we had Michelle Williams on the podcast, and she talked a lot about understanding like where your mind's at, like where your mental health is at. I'm a firm believer that that's important. And then once you start to understand that, hopefully you've got some type of foundation built that you can go back then and ask a friend, this is what I'm hearing. This is what I'm learning about myself in these times of silence. Do you agree, disagree? Is this a lie that's being poured over me? Is this some truth? How do I hold on to this? What do I do with it? We saw in Jesus, he had incredible friends who learned a lot from Jesus and were always kind of messing things up, but also were always there. Mm-hmm. And at some point in our life, like I just cry out when I'm pushing myself into isolation and being alone, I also desire to come back to a place where I know I'm not alone, which is with the people that have committed their lives, at least I believe they have, to being beside me no matter what.
Mm-hmm. The balance of the two is, I just think, so important, because I think that if you've spent some time alone, but then you get the courage to go and confide in somebody, what you're going to receive, usually, if it's the right people to go to, someone you trust, is grace. Because I think that time alone, it's good. And, you know, God can talk to us. We can hear ourselves. But then when you go and talk to someone else, it's always like, even if those doubts or anything was kind of washing over your head, then you confide in somebody else. They give you grace, which also just gives you permission to give yourself grace, which is just such a positive way to get to the other side of it. Break through the breakdown at all. And I'm wondering, because the show is about hope, and you've talked about how there's hope on the other side of these breakdowns, these moments that you've had a couple times, the liminal space in between. What does hope look like when you're in it?
Mm-hmm. It's hard to find. I don't want to tell anybody that it's always there. Mm-hmm. Because there's probably somebody that's listening right now that's like in it. And they're going, yeah, this is all great. But like, I haven't woken up in the last year and felt any type of hope. I think the hope that's in it is the character that's been building inside of all of us during these seasons of life. I believe our pain teaches us the most. I've learned the most personally from pain. I've also know that there's a slippery slope on both sides. One is if you push yourself too far into isolation, then you really are alone. If you pushed everything away, then you're sitting in a space where nothing is left. And then if you've became too vulnerable with everybody around you, you've maybe pushed people away because they don't want to help you, and there's a pain and a burden that's put on them. And so there is a wisdom in this too. It's almost the risk that we take when we're in the seasons of pain is also still be wise. Like, we're called to be wise, and to be wise in how we communicate and what we communicate and how often we communicate it. And then to what effectiveness we hope that we communicate this. The hope is in the wisdom that is to come. So the hope for me is knowing that even though I'm walking through a valley that feels very dark and very heavy, that there's something on the other side that is lighter, that the weight of this at some time too shall pass. I don't know when, but I believe it is to come. And I know when that hope is to come, that the season of darkness will have taught me a lot. And I know then I'll be a better friend. I'll be a better son. I'll be a better husband. I'll be a better leader because I have this season of growth. Mm-hmm. And so when I'm in my seasons of pain, and to say it simply, when I'm at my healthiest points in my seasons of pain, I tell myself I'm in a season of growth. I'm in a season of transition, which transition means changing. You know, revelation is about something new to come. And I just have to continue to believe because I have a faith in Jesus. And that faith gets twisted upside down and pushed aside, and my doubts seep in on me all the time. But because I have firm belief in Jesus, and Jesus claims, and in my life and the lives of many people I've witnessed, is a God of love, a God of grace, a God of kindness, a God of listening, a God of patience. Because of that, I believe something is still to come that is new, that is life-breathing, and that this season is not worthless. In fact, it has a lot of meaning.
Amen, my friend. I love that. We still have one more question that we always ask on this show, but I think you touched on it a little bit right now, but I'm still going to ask it for you. One, because I'm just so excited that I get to say it this time and not listen about it. I'm not going to mess it up. I'm going to try to mimic Ben for you guys as much as I can. But before I do, I'm going to mimic him again and plug a few of the things. Alone in Plain Sight, you guys can find it anywhere, everywhere books are sold. Generous Coffee, they have some super cool things that they are new stuff that they're putting out. And yep, right here. Generous Coffee, and Hope Still Wins. This has been so much fun to build alongside you guys. Join us on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. We continue the conversation all week about and celebrate all the guests that we have on. All right, Ben, well, we ask every guest the same question on the show. It is a show about hope, so take as little as long as you'd like to answer it. Ben, do you believe that hope still wins? If so, why? And if not, why not? You're a
mimic. I thought you were going to mess it up.
No.
Yes, I do. But I've learned a lot about hope through doing this podcast. We've had some incredible voices come on here and say that they believe hope still wins, but hope is gritty. It's dirty. It's not easy. When we say the word hope, we oftentimes feel like it's this beautiful thing that shines off in the distance that we're chasing after. But in order to have hope, one thing I've learned is that we have to have a past that points us to towards a better future. And not everybody, and I want to be respectful of this, not everybody has a past. Or some people that are listening, or that some people in this world have a past that continues to haunt them for reasons they never caused, that they can't even see a better future because they don't even know how to take a step forward. But within that, I believe hope still wins because I believe every person has a tremendous amount of value. At Generous, we say one thing often to encourage everybody. It's if one person is changed, by the work that Generous does, then it's all worth it because that's what we believe. That's the value we believe in each human. I would say the same thing for Hope Still Wins. I say the same thing for Alone in Plain Sight. And so because I believe, and because I just feel like we have to believe that humans, each person walking this earth, if we see them believing that there's Christ inside of them, that we know that they matter, that we know that they have a purpose, that we know that they have value, then it changes the way we view this world. And I believe once we all start to believe that, then there's hope in that. Because what I believe is that when humans start to work together in community, to start to fight injustice, to start to care for the people that are feeling like the outsider, to start to lean into the conversations that are difficult but necessary, then I believe there's a brighter future ahead for all of us. But within that, I also would say that in order to have hope, you have to have a curiosity. You have to stay open to learning, to exploring, to dissecting the things that are inside of each and every one of us, the emotions that are confusing and the seasons of deep pain and sorrow. You have to stay curious to what is being taught, what is being learned, what wisdom am I gaining so that you can enter back into the world and be that hope giver to others. So I believe hope still wins because I believe hope is powerful. But I don't believe it's easy. I believe it's messy, and I believe it takes a lot of work.
Ben, thanks for coming on your own show today.
It's a blessing.
No, and honestly, for sharing with us and being vulnerable and really just creating this platform for us to be able to be curious, for me to be able to be curious as the producer, but then also... I really hope that these conversations, this one and the ones that we have with guests, are a way and spark things in you, the listeners, that you get to be curious and kind of learn from different worldviews and outlooks. And at the end of the day, that it can in some way, shape or form unite us to become more one.
This is a good ride. I'm thankful for you. You've been a gift over the last year.
Thank you.
Only great things to come. Oh, I promise, yeah. For all of this. So, yeah, thanks for having me.
Hey, everybody. I just want to come on here after the interview and say thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Hope Still Wins. If you haven't already, please listen up. Please subscribe or follow the show wherever you listen to podcasts. If you enjoyed this conversation, please consider leaving a 5-star review on Apple and join the community over on Instagram at Hope Still Wins. Make sure, my friends, to also share it with your friends. That's how these things grow and how we continue to keep this thing going. So share it with your friends, pass it along. Hope Still Wins doesn't want to stop, and we need you in order to do that. Well, that's it for today, my friends. Thank you again for listening to this episode of Hope Still Wins. Make sure you pick up a copy of Alone in Plain Sight. Go to generouscoffee.com and order some coffee. Also, continue to listen to the show. Well, because I think it's worth it. Anyways, hey, thanks a lot. I'm your host, Ben Higgins, and we'll talk to you soon.